What this is a real recreation of the very first ethanol filling station that was in Lincoln, Nebraska, back on April 11th in 1933. It was where the very first 10% ethanol, corn alcohol moonshine, was blended with 90% gasoline and sold at a filling station, which is the same fuel that's available virtually all the way across the country, but this was the very first place it was sold. So we've kind of recreated that as a real live show and kind of take you back into time, and it's a typical conversation that would have taken place between Jake, the filling station attendant, and Mr. Johnson, who's probably putting gas into his car the second time of buying ethanol. And it's just a neat conversation, and we're trying to educate people on where ethanol has been, dating all the way back to 1907 with Henry Ford building the first Model T to run on ethanol first, gasoline second, and then all the way to today of where ethanol is poised to go even further into the future.
Do you find that people are surprised that ethanol has such a long history?
You know, a lot of people have no clue that ethanol has been around for 100 years. This November, again, it will be the 100th anniversary of the Model T, and people don't even have a clue that's how far it goes back. It's so old, it's new again to people. And that's why when we uncovered this story, we thought, wow, what a great way to tell a story. It's a true story. That's the easiest story to tell, so it's a true story that has a lot of neat history. And when you put the old music and the old cars into it and the outfits that people would have worn and stuff, it just brings to life that, hey, if this fuel has been around that long, why haven't we embraced it? Why haven't we done anything about it? And if it was around that long, it should be safe, so there's no problem to burn it. People also don't know that Rudolf Diesel built the first diesel motor to run on coal dust. And then second of all, he modified it to run on vegetable oil, which is the same as a biomass fuel, soy biodiesel. And then the petroleum industry started calling their product diesel fuel. So it was coal dust, vegetable oil, and then diesel fuel. So it's just good stewardship. We have an opportunity to not only feed the world, but we all have an opportunity to fuel the world, and we can grow that on U.S. soil, whether it's pine cones or switchgrass or corn or soybean or a plant that we don't even know of yet that maybe is in a breeding operation somewhere. But we're going to be able to grow that here on our soil, and that's what I think is exciting about this.
And you mentioned the future of ethanol. Have any more comments on that?
I think the future is great. I think we don't know what we're going to be making fuel out of tomorrow. Is there going to be some fuel made out of corn? Sure. I think for a long, long time it's going to be made out of corn. I think there's a long, long time it's going to be made out of soybeans. But again, things will change. 100 years from now, we don't know. But it's going to be something that we're going to grow. And it may be, a product that's a seed that's genetically similar to corn or milo, but it's been crossbred. But again, the bottom line is it has to be grown on our soil, and that's what I think is the most important. Right now, corn is what makes the most sense for the conversion factor.
Okay. I think that covers it. Anything you want to add that I didn't get to?
No, again, I think the big fact is it's the food versus fuels factor. A lot of people just need to sort through the fact from the fiction, and we're not going to starve in this country. We're going to have plenty of crops to grow where we're still going to have plenty of food, and we're going to have plenty of fuel, and I think that's what's important. We need to be patient and wait for the plant breeders and the auto manufacturers and everybody who's working on this to get the automobiles running, to get better fuel economy, and we can have crops that can make us more gallons per bushel. And I think that we're not patient anymore in this country. I can't order something from Land's End or 80 Bauer and it's not here tomorrow, I'm upset. And that's because we're impatient. But again, I think these are great problems, and we're great problem solvers here in America.
Okay, great. Thank you, Tim.
I hope I gave you enough. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, that's great.